All right. Hello, everybody. Nate, we got Eric and Dan with us here on the Drexel Basketball Podcast. It's a great day to be a Dragon. I was thinking about that. I can't believe I haven't said that so far. But I guess I need to think back memories to last year and hoping maybe we can rekindle some of that. The other thought, I have something else we should really be marketing and hammering. We should be putting that on T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. But either we'll try to revive it for this little podcast here. And then plan today is to talk about the CAA tournament. We'll cover some other odds and ends too related to the tournament. But we're doing it on a Saturday morning because it's March and really nice to have March back and it's mostly normal form. It started out with me. March 1st was the Mechanicsburg girls team winning a district playoff game. And you just think back to what we missed, really 2 years ago, then get shut down last year, really couldn't go to those. I mean, I guess some games were open to public, but it's just nice to be able to have things relatively normal right now. So we're here early because I'm going down to Towson. That game's at 2, and then Mechanicsburg girls play at Giant Center at 6. So March is in full swing. So we're trying to fit this in here on a Saturday morning. So wanted to start out going through, I guess, the first piece of news in tournament week always tends to be the awards that get passed out throughout the conference. So well, as I'm looking at it, there's a lot of them. I know you just talked like 2 minutes ago, I would run through the whole list, but let me just start out. Is there anything for you guys that really saw and you're like, man, that's a bunch of crap and I don't agree with that, or any thoughts you have about, let's go with like the rookie, the player of the year, rookie of the year, like the individual and coach of the year awards. Any thoughts you guys had on those?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally it was pretty well nailed. I mean, Zach Cooks is a starter and 90% of the league is the sixth man of the year. Aaron Estrada, I think, was probably damn near unanimous as for player of the year. I think rookie of the year could have been a bit of a toss-up. Some of the Charleston guys could have been in there. Jair Davis didn't explode until Painter went down. But he did. He came on strong, and recency bias is a thing. So appreciate, he's been very good for Delaware. No doubt. Jerry Beach had voted for Charles Thompson of Towson for the Defensive Player of the Year. I get the argument, but there's no doubt in my mind Amari Williams was deserving. So really happy to see that. And then, the Dean Ehlers Leadership Award. It feels like it's a Drexel Award, doesn't it? It feels like between the teams, we seem to do get more than our share of those. I think Hannah had it last year, I want to say, for the women's side. I may be misquoted there. I hope I'm not. But it was good to see Matei. That's a really meaningful award. I think it's one that the coaches actually spent a lot of time on. So great to see him bring that one down. And then the coach of the year, it was going to be Siddle or it was going to be Pat Scary, right? and I think really it's hard to question what Siddle did with that team. Part of it is that the team was so bad going in. So, I don't think he should get credit for that. But what he's done with that team in season is pretty incredible.
Eric, anything you saw?
Yeah, Cameron Winter making the first team. He was preseason pick, his best player, but I think he was very good this year. But obviously, from Hofstra, I'm forgetting the name already, had a really, really, really good season.
Estrada. Yep.
Estrada, yeah, that was kind of unanimous, I thought. And, I thought Winter just had his typical winter season. He had 15 points per game. He was third best in the conference. He had an amazing assist to turnover ratio. We know, like we say it over and over, he takes good care of the ball. It's not one of those things you see on in the stat column. It's just you got to watch the games to know that he's got control out there. So he makes that first team not just on stats but just on poise.
Yeah, I have to say the only one that I guess I was a little surprised to see Charles Thompson, his name first pop up in the second team. And admittedly, I wanted to watch a lot more, CAA basketball than what I did. I mean, watching the women and some other stuff I picked up on, but I was a little surprised by that. I don't know how you guys felt.
That was the name that stuck out to me in the teams too. It was funny. I'm glad you went there. Charles Thompson, I thought I would have had a vote for him for first team. Maybe he played better against Drexel than he did against others, but he was the one guy I thought who gave Amari a hard time. I thought he was extremely meaningful to that team to the point where I might even exchange him with Cam Holden. I know Cam's kind of the heart and soul of that team, but I thought Thompson meant more on both ends of the court perspective. The other one, Jalen Ray, he came off the bench a lot, and I get that, but you know, he's to me at least a second team quality player. I think he could have been moved up. Vado Morse, you know, he's JMU's best player, but you know, hey, we could have shut JMU out, right? I mean, that's traditional for the league at this point. I thought it was great Amari got third team. I was a little surprised actually. But your defensive player of the year, you get some votes. That's fair. The one Drexel guy I think has got some beef, and I get why it happened, is Malik Martin. I thought Malik has both the numbers and the meaningful play on his team to have consideration. But I think transfers sometimes have a tough time, especially when they're one-year guys, getting momentum where the writers don't know them particularly well and so forth and so on.
You know, with Thompson, I could simply see the argument there about defensive player of the year. He just plays more minutes. He did it longer throughout the year. Williams came along later. He wasn't starting until Butler got hurt. So I could definitely see the argument for putting Thompson up there. But if you ask me who the better defensive player is, it's going to be Williams just because of his mere size and his instinct.
Yeah, if I'm looking, I was a little surprised. I guess if I was going to swap Thompson for anybody, the first team had been Timberlake. And I'm just looking, he averaged essentially 14 points a game. So, I mean, I think if he's a good player. I just didn't think of him as like first team player. And you know what I've seen of Thompson, he's kind of a game changer. So if I was going to swap somebody, that's probably what I would do. But looking at the, you know, it looks like they definitely pulled off the scoring list because I'm looking like everybody who's within the top 10 just about, it looks like made a one of the teams. So, I mean, that seemed to be what maybe they relied quite a bit on. So, but yeah, otherwise I didn't have any heartburn about the things that were passed out. So seemed like a good list, I felt. So, all right.
Well, I think some years there's a lot of beef, and I think this year they did pretty well. They did really pretty well with it. There's a bunch of guys you could nominate for third team, no problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the list of really pretty good higher-end guys is long. Dylan Painter not being on there. I know he was injured for part of it. But you saw when he was missing the effect that had on Delaware. That's, I think, probably the most glaring omission to me.
I've seen a couple of people compare him to Butler in their situations and how they didn't quite have the seasons they wanted, and that seems to match up pretty well. So, of course, his name's not on there, and I don't think anybody would disagree. But hoping this week maybe he turns things around. So I look like some of these guys, you wonder if they use this as motivation going into the tournament, you know, because – not on there at all, or I wish I would have been a higher team. So, but yeah, that may be something for him to do. But
so one of the dumber things that Drexel basketball has done, even for Drexel basketball, they paywalled the press conferences this year, so fans couldn't see it unless they paid for that virtual season ticket package. And the virtual season ticket package did not include actual any kind of games to watch. Mm-hmm. So what kind of season ticket that was, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I get slipped the link to it every once in a while, and you could see that the YouTube views are like one or two. So, I mean, the paywall obviously working wonderfully. But I checked out the senior night one, and, I think Sax Biker was it was emotional in general, but I thought that particularly with regards to JB, that injury cost JB a lot, and James tried to play through it, but certainly didn't have the season that anybody was hoping. And that's tough. That's tough. I think it particularly it looks like Coach Biker was taking it, probably as hard as the player was. And James is a professional. He's never, you never heard him out there on social media or anything else complaining, playing time or anything else. He knows he's trying to play through something, but just it was well handled by all parties, I think. And it was a tough one to see with a fifth-year guy who came back and who's been a special player for this program. So I agree with you, Nate. It's just tough to see.
And the nice thing is it is March, so he's got 3 days to see if he can change the narrative a little bit. So we'll shift gears and we'll talk about the tournament. We'll kind of at the outset kind of go through game by game. But as we go through, if you guys have a feeling like, oh, there's a team that I'm really watching or I'm really excited about them, or I think they're on the downswing, you know, kind of fill it in. So I don't know how many of us are going to watch, how many people will be there. But today, William and Mary play Northeastern at 5:00. So any thoughts you guys have about that sort of play-in game that's going to happen today?
I see Eric just shaking his head no. Yeah, I may have some like cleaning to do around the house. That's a tough one to watch. William and Mary's just been very, very bad down the stretch. They seem to have gotten worse, actually, as the season's gone on in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, they've sniped a couple of games. They've been an absolute sniper. I think they beat Hofstra. They beat Drexel. You know, the wins they've had, have been pretty out there. But then they got, you know, that I think where they score like 26 against Northeastern or something. So that's the only real narrative in this game is that it's a bit of a revenge spot for William & Mary. Mm-hmm. And Northeastern has the feel all season for them. They've got to have some locker room issues. They have to. I'm convinced of it because there's more talent there than what they've done. I think this is a group of guys who are going to be very happy for the season to end. I don't expect a lot of fight.
Let me ask you something, and you know, so I don't like to be the guy with the unpopular opinion or the devil's advocate, but sometimes I'm still the same person that thinks Chip Kelly did a nice job in Philadelphia.
I say this is going to be a Bill Cohn question, isn't it?
Yeah. Does he live up to the reputation that – I mean, all I ever hear is, like, even I was talking about that Charleston podcast, and you know, all they kept saying, yeah, we know he could put together 4 days and he could really coach this team up. And I know there's this blind spot I have in CAA basketball when I was overseas and stuff. But do you think he lives up to all the hype?
The hype is strong is what I would tell you. Mm-hmm. But I do. I think they've been consistently – they've never been great, but they've been consistently good. They've never really had a – this is his first poor season. I'm looking now. He had 2014, they were 203 in KenPom, but otherwise they've been top 200 for 15 years straight. And you look at that, and they've won – they've danced twice in 15 years. So they've slightly outpaced expectations in a school, and you've got to remember this, where basketball is not their sport. Hockey's their sport. They get no support for the basketball team. They play in a hockey arena. They're the fourth basketball team in a four-team town. You know, they don't get any respect in Boston either. I think maybe BU, just by virtue of being a bigger school and a bigger name, probably gets a little bit more press. But the recruiting, they never recruit, you know, and New England's not a recruiting hotbed. It's a tougher job than Drexel is. Mm. It is, without a question in my mind, a tougher job than Drexel is. And I think the administration up at Northeastern is even more honest with him in that he's not, the help's not coming. Mm. So given the full situation, if he was doing this at College of Charleston, I would be more underwhelmed because I feel like the administration and this town and there's just a ton of support down there and the facilities are top notch and everything else. Doing this in the situation he's doing it in, yeah, I think he's outkicked the coverage. He's put one kid in the NBA and Berea. He's put Matt Jannings had a pretty nice career internationally, is my understanding. They've never had any off the court issues. He's done everything that you want a coach to do, and they've been competitive. And you know, I think that's always the question for Drexel fans: is what do you expect? And the general answer is we'd like to go to the tournament every 4 years, mm-hmm. something like that, every class. And he's, you know, for the last 8 years, he's done that. So I think he's earned his accolades. Is he Coach K? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll defend him. I'll defend him here. This is by far his worst season, so I don't want to snipe him at the time where, you know, something clearly was off the rails this year.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking, you know, yeah, two NCAA tournament appearances. I mean, yeah, if that was Drexel, the guy could tell us how long he wants to coach. I mean, Denise Dillon won one championship, and I was like, she could be here as long as she wants. So, so seeing that, I mean, that it took a number of years. So his first year was 06, 07, and then they made it to the tournament in 14, 15. So do the math there. What's that? You know, 7-8 seasons until he made the – I mean, I'm thinking back, you know, the number of games we went in Richmond and you hear about, yeah, Janning and how talented their teams were, and you felt like they couldn't quite get over that hump. But yeah, but basically to say, it's the way people talk about this guy's like he walks on water. I just was curious what you guys thought, long story short.
He does a lot in a bad situation is what I would tell you, and his X's and O's are pretty good.
Yeah, and I, you know, honestly, seeing those two NCAA tournaments, if he did that at Drexel, I'd be happy with him too. So, but, you know, as bad as they were this year, I think it's same with Bruiser Flint situation. You can't be one in whatever in the conference 2 years in a row. It doesn't matter, I don't think. So he's, you know, I think even a team with low expectations has to have higher expectations than that. So
We're going to talk about coaches, but I'm trying to wait until after the tournament. I'm keeping my lips sealed. But I have some strong opinions that what I thought earlier in the year, which is the CAA may bring back 10 coaches next year. I'm really not feeling it all right now.
Yeah.
And I think we could see two or three leave and possibly move up in all cases. So,
yeah.
But I don't think Bill Cullen's really one of those guys. I think he's earned the right to have a bad season.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see how that game goes. I think it seems like I'll take Northeastern. I think they seem like the popular opinion, because yeah, it looks like Wayman Mary's best days were back in December and January, and those days are gone. I remember looking at that box score where they only scored 20 some points. I was like, how's the team only score 20 points? And I was like, you don't make any shots and you turn the ball over. And that's really what it looked like it came down to. So,
that's the lowest score I can remember since Towson and Drexel back, going back maybe 12, 13 years ago. I think Towson put up 26 points at the DAC.
I remember that.
That was a game that took college basketball back 20 years, as people just like to say. So,
with the shot clock and 3-point line too.
So I'll see how that. Go ahead.
William Mary brought their hockey sticks. They scored 20. It was a really good score for one sport. They were just playing the wrong one. Yeah.
So I'll move on to one of those teams will play Towson. Do you see any possibility of either, let's say if it's Northeastern, any chance they beat Towson?
I see my phone blowing up around 1 o'clock tomorrow when one of those teams jumps out to a bit of a lead against Towson, because usually there's some carryover. The team that plays the day before has a little momentum going, gets off to a strong start. But I mean, Towson, I think they're like 63 in KenPom. Like, they're legitimately good. Don't sleep on them. So there should be no competition here.
Yeah.
Bruiser coaching Towson.
Yeah, that'd
be the only chance I'd see Towson losing them all.
He's finally going to make the tournament, it looks like, with Kentucky. I don't think he can miss it unless something crazy happens. So, so the game of most interest to us, 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, more or less, Drexel, Delaware. So what thoughts do you guys have about that game tomorrow?
That's going to be a tough one. So the team split during the regular season. Delaware came in and totally dominated. I thought it was one of the more dominating performances at the DAC this year. They won the game by, I believe, 6. Drexel made a late run. Delaware came out victorious in the end. Fast forward a few weeks down to Delaware. Drexel returns the favor. Dylan Painter's out of the lineup. But Drexel, not as dominating as Delaware was up here, but down in Delaware, you know, Drexel pretty much led most of the game, deserved to win that game. So, you know, this is just one of those I think anybody who they played would be very difficult tomorrow. We know Drexel can win and beat anybody in this conference. They can lose to anybody in this conference. Dylan Painter's back. He missed a few games there. Looking at their lineup, Jameer Nelson Jr., you know, I still have nightmares of his father playing us every season out of conference games at St. Joe's. He leads them in scoring with 14 a game. Pitt Painter and Allen right behind him at 12, and Anderson at 10. The big thing about Delaware is they like to bring it inside. The overall field goal percentage for the season was 47%. That's really impressive. And, you know, they like to bang up underneath. Also, you can't foul them. They shoot 75% from the line as a team. So, you know, particularly their starters shoot very well from the free throw line. It's a very tough matchup, but a very winnable game. I didn't see the line on this, guys. I don't know if you did, but I feel Delaware would be favored by a couple points. Since I'm going to the game, we're probably hurting the chances as well. But that's pretty much all I got about that.
Yeah, two teams that, in my opinion, couldn't be more evenly matched. The storylines, I've said this with Inglesby and Spiker, since they both arrived together, it feels like they've moved through their careers together. It feels like both schools have just been in just total lockstep at times, besides obviously Drexel making their run last year. That's been the difference. Delaware was picked number one in the preseason poll this year. They have a ton of upperclassmen, fifth-year guy types, which is not the type of team you want to play generally this time of year. Those guys who have been here before have done it before. Drexel comes back in the same boat, right? They're the defending champions. They were picked 3, which I thought was low. Both teams have disappointed expectations. If you look at Delaware against the three teams above these guys in the standings, they went 0-6. I think Drexel was 1-5. There's clearly a gap between those top three and these two. But it kind of puts that they both basically cleaned up against the lower portion of the schedule, with the exception of a loss to Charleston apiece, and they got to have another loss up there somewhere. But it's not inspirational. to teams, in my opinion, that have underperformed in the season don't do very well in the tournament. So you have two experienced teams, you have two teams similarly coached. I'm worried that the difference maker is Jameer Nelson Jr., who is, I think, the only guy on either one of these teams who can consistently make his own shot. You're going to need a big game from Amari. And ultimately, this one may just come down to who shoots the ball from three better. You know, I mean, I think it could. It's that hard to project. I think, you know, Dragons are going to have to go down there and play friendly with the Ribs, because that's probably the difference maker in this game. These two teams, you can't split. It should be a great game. If it's a blowout, I'd be shocked, but, you know, crazier things have happened. But 4-5 matchup, this is why you tune in. This is why nobody can watch it except for Flow Sports. So, you know, but I wish this was picked up on NBC Sports Philly. I don't know, again, contractual situations there, but it should be a day. It's Drexel Delaware in the tournament, guys. Let's get excited.
Yeah, Drexel's got to really be careful. They got to clean up around the rim. I think a lot of things I saw this season were a lot of chippies, and they just didn't finish, and the other team gets the rebound.
If I'm Towson, I'm rooting for Delaware. I would say that. I think Drexel's got a better shot against Towson than Delaware does.
Yeah. When I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that made-up game on Monday night was nice because, you know, one, it was only, 45 minutes of our time, so it was short, and then we got to see really two of our potential opponents. So I watched the game Monday, and I thought, for a lot of reasons, I thought, you know, you think of that night where that game got rescheduled, I think did a lot to change the course of the season, you know, one with Towson getting the one seed. And then, you know, for me, and I mean, Delaware had a couple of players hurt out of that game that missed some time, if I remember right. And I mean, Delaware's up 9, and then the game gets bagged, and then it's almost like exactly what you thought was going to happen. They went down and got really, I mean, the game completely reversed once they got going. I mean, Delaware put the brakes on it a little bit. They didn't get completely run out of the arena down there, but it was about to get out of hand. And the other thing I think for Delaware is you saw, you know, again, they live and die by the perimeter shot. You know, they really tried, I thought, to get to the rim on Towson. And made a good effort for it, but it's not them. So they're kind of like us in a sense. I don't know that they have the toughness and that Towson does of getting to the basket. I like us in this game, and really because I think, you know, again, as long as we play a half court game under control, we don't turn the ball over, like, you know, and we got a little out of control in the game with the DAC and let them back into it and take over, and then really kind of dominated the whole way down there. So I think if we can keep the pace where we want it, and we can defend their perimeter shooters, and they struggle the way they did in the second game, I like us to win, honestly. So, but we'll see.
Delaware's not a great defensive team. That's the other piece of it. You know, Drexel's going to have to score. It's look for them to fill up the basket, but if 80 is probably the number. If Drexel hits 80, you're feeling really, 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 really good about things. Mm-hmm. But you may have to get up that high. Mm-hmm. Leave Amari back there, let him do his work, and then get to the rim. Get to the rim.
Well, the one thing I picked up on, you know, sitting behind the bench at Charleston, which was good to hear, is they were talking about inside out, inside out. So it does tell me that we want to play through Amari, which I think is the right way to go. That might have been the game, too, at the DAC, where Amari, we finally got it inside to him. He scored, like, two possessions in a row, and then all of a sudden he came out. So, I mean, again, I'm hoping for a coming-out party from him down there. And, yeah, we use him, and then we hit perimeter shots. You know, I think someone was asking what Okros' status is. I think I'd like to see him play. I don't think any of us have any idea, but it'd be nice to have him down there as a perimeter shooter. But no, I like Archie. I'll take us to win that game, and I'm not being a homer. I think we have a good chance to win. So
yeah, Okros, I think, is a big loss. I think they've been missing him late in the season, and I'd also like to see Williams. I know they want to get Butler out there. I'm feeling right around 22, 23 minutes a game is what Amari plays, and then correspondingly Butler plays 17 or 18. I would just like to see, for no reason other than defensive purposes, I'd like to see Williams on the floor a little bit longer than that. I think it can make a huge difference.
Well, you hear about Robert Battle talking about his endurance, maybe. I don't know what it is at this point, so that could be part of the minutes issue too, besides JB forcing his way in.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Yeah, probably more of the minutes going to Amari, but you know, Butler had a pretty good game last time out. And park him under the basket. I don't want to see him. I agree with you. I don't want to see him taking those mid-range. I mean, if you're wide open, maybe one or two of them, but do what you do best, rebound. And like you said, being around the rim and struggling with rebounds, help fix us up, fix that problem for us. And do what you do well. And he could be effective too, more effective than he was before. Because I don't think Carr is I was surprised to see that other big man. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Being the all rookie player, somebody I hadn't really paid attention to, I guess. But I think we can eat them alive inside, and then you know, we defend their perimeter shot, I think we can keep them off the scoreboard and we win the game. So
we're gonna JB. If he's out top too much, I'm gonna yell as loud as you can. I'm gonna get your son Evan. Also yell, just get under the net.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I would like to see them both play together, and that might be a surprise. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the coaches have something in their back pocket for this game. So, I mean, maybe that's a couple minutes of them together. We'll see. You want to see us take advantage of I think, much better matchups in the paint than, you know, I think that's where the big advantage is in this game, because Delaware does have so many experienced Ryan Allen, Jameer Nelson, Kevin Anderson, all upperclassmen guards that are all league potential players. I mean, they've got them around the perimeter, so it's not much of an advantage there. I think Xavier Bell's a big, like you say, if this is about getting to the rim, you need to see Xavier Bell take advantage and get past his man a little bit. So I'll be looking for that too.
Yeah, about the only rotation we haven't seen is the two big men on the floor at the same time. And Dan, like you said, you felt they were, Coach Spiker was tinkering last week with House going in. And I feel like he's been tinkering all year, so I'm surprised that's the one lineup he hasn't used. So yeah, maybe we see it this weekend. Who knows? But let's and I guess I'm gonna go, let's just stay with our part of the bracket and kind of follow us. So on that top half of the bracket. So I'm just under the assumption we win the game, and then of course we match up with Towson at 6 o'clock on Monday evening. So if that game would happen, what are your thoughts?
What a game! What a game! What a game! It should be a good one. How about that? I mean, either Drexel or Delaware, either one, the experience and, like I said, the guard play is going to be really, really tough. It's going to be, I think as big as Charles Thompson is, as big as Cam Holden is, I think Timberlake is the straw that stirs the drink on that team. He's got to get going, so we'll see. They do have the advantage of a couple hours extra rest. That's the advantage of the one seed, of being the one seed, so that's meaningful in this time of year. But it should be a competitive game. I think it's as bad as Spiker's teams have been against Towson over the years, and it's been a horrendous matchup because generally they're physical, and generally they just out-tough us, to be honest with you. Year after year after year, it feels like those teams got a little bit more, they stay down to earth. You know, we talk about them not getting excited, not fighting to kill, but they're not getting pushed around as much this year either, in most cases. So Amari is obviously a huge difference maker when you're dealing with that kind of size of the team too, especially Cam Holden. So Thompson's the guy. Thompson and Timberlake are probably the two I'm watching more than Holden in that game. It's a winnable game for Drexel. If I'm Towson, I'm a little bit scared of that matchup. A lot of seniors and a team that's beaten us once, and a team that's, listen, Drexel's still the defending champs too, so they got that swagger. They've been there before, they've done it.
Eric, what do you think should that matchup happen? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I mean, look, they did beat them earlier this season. The second game down at Towson, they had a huge, I think it was like a 12, 13-point lead at halftime. And Towson had to fight their way back in that game. Towson's very tough, but I don't know how tournament-tested they are. We'll see. I think really, really Drexel could beat any team. It's just a weather question of whether they could put three of them together against three quality teams. That's going to be a real tall order.
Yeah, I think, and again, going to Monday night, Delaware got in trouble because they just, Towson scattered the game and they seem to kind of thrive in that type of game that's kind of up and down, high paced and going to the rim and that sort of thing. And that's what we let them do, especially the second half down there. We kind of lost our composure and that what like double digit lead turned into a double digit deficit. It's one of those, can we keep our composure? Can we keep the pace the way we want it? Because if we let them run up and down and we turn the ball over, we're in trouble. So, but I agree, Dan, too. Timberlake, I didn't know that he was like a first team type player. But I completely agree. Like when they get in, and all those guys like Rizzuto and that, I guess they got another guy back, Nolan. When those guys are adding to what they have to Thompson and Holden, I mean, yeah, they're loaded. So, I think Rizzuto was the guy that got going against us in the second half. And once he did, we were in trouble. So, but again, this is more of a homer pick. I feel good about the Delaware game, but as a homer pick, I'll say we can beat Towson. We're going to keep the games, because I think the first game at the DAC was low scoring. So, kind of keep it under control, keep it our pace. And then, just find a way to win. I think that's the only thing. We get in a track meet with them, forget about it. So
what do you think about the building? We're playing in the Washington Sports Entertainment Center. Holds about 10,000 people. I certainly don't see that building even being halfway full. So, you know, maybe Drexel gets a little bit of advantage because they're used to playing in front of an empty building. You know, Towson's got the geographic advantage, but you know, they don't have a huge fan base, but they do have the geographic advantage. But in a place that holds 10,000, it's going to be pretty sparse. I don't know if it really the crowd is going to really play into it. Anybody has really an advantage.
Eric, I'm going to stop you for a second. It's about a 4,000 seat arena, so it's a much smaller arena than you're picturing.
Did they open up the? Are you sure it's that small?
Yeah, I mean, I went down there 2 years ago when we played COVID year, and I'm sure it's that small. It's tight. It's tight. The whole arena's tight, but it's a great place for basketball. rant for another time, but I think there's strong consideration to move, if not after this year, the next year, and start rotating, you know, through the north and south again. Man, I love this setup. I love DC. I love the setup. I if you leave it here for 25 years, I'd be happy. It's a great arena. It's nice to be in a state-of-the-art arena for once. They can run their videos. You don't have to worry about the X, Y, and Z on the floor, and it's great. The thing with the crowd in this game, you know, Towson didn't travel to Baltimore a few years ago as a one seed, so I don't expect to see a big Towson turnout. Which is,
do you have to travel good. To Baltimore? I guess you do. Yeah, I guess it counts.
Yeah, I mean, you can take a local bus. I mean, you know, it's not like it would have been a hard travel, but I mean, I was stunned. They were a good team. One of those 3 years of it was in Baltimore and nobody showed up. I was really, really surprised. And it made a lot of my arguments for the need for attendance look bad, but that's something I'll save for later on in the pod. This is a great setup. I expect, you know, the Drexel fans to be able to be heard. It's going to feel a little bit like a home game for sure. For both teams, it's not like Towson draws particularly well. As good as their facilities are, they don't have the fan base to go along with it. So I do think the other note I want to slip in on this game, new athletic director of Towson. Pat Scary's been there a long time, boys. I think both these coaches, to be honest with you, probably need this. They both have new athletic directors. And again, hinting towards our next podcast, but I think this is a big spot for both of the head coaches, and it's going to be a very important game.
I'm going to steal a stat from Holy City, that podcast. They said Pat Scary is 2-9 in the CAA tournament. So yeah, I think that factors in a little bit. And again, I don't want to pin their whole season on one game, but from what I saw Monday night, I was looking at them, and I could be completely wrong about this, but like, as a poor man's VCU. I mean, maybe in the sense that, well, they pressured the hell out of Delaware's shooters in the half court, which is why I think Delaware had the problems they had. But they didn't throw a full court press, but they had that feeling of that team that really, really got after you defensively. And I just said this, but man, if you could slow them down and keep them under control and make them play basketball, maybe you have a chance. But I feel like as I watched them at Wilmington, they played a good half court game. So yeah, if they can play both paces, they're going to be tough for anybody. But we just definitely, I think, have to keep it under control.
I think they can. And I'd be careful reading too much into Monday. I mean, it's a very unique situation. Obviously, with a shortened game, it's easier to run and press, right? And also, when you walk into a game down 9 with a short amount of time, you know you have to kind of play pace. And more importantly, there are just two teams with very different motivations in that game. Delaware had absolutely nothing to play for.
And I'll throw out too, I know we have marketing conversations. It looked like they sold that game, you know, because for a 18-minute game, they had a decent crowd. It looked like they had a good student crowd. I didn't follow social media to see what kind of advertisements they made, but I mean, a decent group that rushed the floor when they won. So you felt like there was a little buzz around that game down there. So I don't know if they did a good job, but that was my sense. So yeah, a lot of reasons why you can't totally read into Monday, but did give you a little lens into this weekend. So, all right. So let's go down to the bottom half of the bracket now, because I'm making an assumption we'd be in the championship. Let's figure out who we might play. So the 6 o'clock game tomorrow night, Elon and UNC Wilmington. Any thoughts on this game?
Upset alert. If I've got to pick one in the first round, this would probably be it. I don't know that I would pick one in the first round, but if I had to pick one, gun to my head. Elon obviously went to the championship game last year. Most of those guys are still here. They had a nice run. They've underperformed this year. I generally don't back underperforming teams in the tournament. I already said it. But if you look at KenPom's, he's got a luck score. Wilmington is number one in the country. And I think luck is also a substitute for coaching sometimes. I think Siddle's done a great job with them. So I don't want to draw too much into one stat that I don't quite frankly know what goes into. But I you know, the UNCW, they've won a ton of close games, a ton of close games. You're playing with fire when you do that. You do that in a conference tournament setup against a team that's played four games in the tournament last year, when your team, you know, is not used to this atmosphere, and you get nervous. It's got all the makings. It really does have all the makings of a game where Elon could do something with it.
I mean, there is one upset in that first round. I don't know if I see. If I had a guess, I would say it'd probably be the Charleston-Hofstra game. But we'll see. I'm looking at the odds here, by the way. Wilmington getting no respect whatsoever from Barstool Sportsbook. They're going off at 10-1. They're the sixth favorite. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sixth favorite. Vertina finished second. Carlson's going off 5-4, as you would expect. Hofstra 5-2. Drexel and Delaware going off at 8-1.
That all feels about right. I was the exception, you know, but per the robots, that makes sense. You know, Wilmington's profile is still affected by their early season when they weren't particularly strong. I think, yeah, there's value probably in that Wilmington number if you were that type of player. But like I said, I'm not there. I'm not there on this team.
But certainly better than a Charleston going off at 9-1. I thought that was. I'm just thinking, they get no respect all season long, so maybe they'll play with a chip on their shoulder. I don't know.
Yeah,
they should. I mean, they should. And even me not believing in them now. They've played well enough to earn a 1 seed, 2 seed in this scenario. Like, I'm not giving them the respect that they've earned throughout their conference play. You play, what did they wear, 15-3 against the schedule. You know, there's some tough places to play on the road. There's 2 day road swings. I mean, they've done it. I got to give them a lot of credit. I just think that maybe they're not heads and shoulders above everybody else like a Towson seems to be.
Yeah, I it's hard for me to buy into Elon at all, just because I think I've seen him 3 times. Twice was us, and we destroyed them. Like down there, I mean, they were terrible. They shot the ball awful. I mean, there was really nothing about them that impressed me. I know they had one guy who had, they've traded, you know, a post player who had a big game the first time, and then I think they had a guard. It was Underwood, had a big game the last. Am I right about that? I think. So it's hard for me to buy into them, but yeah, in Wilmington, I'm buying into Wilmington because I'm the kind of guy, I hear everybody doubt them. I hear that, you know, basically they're, so I'm on board. So I'll take them to win the game. And yeah, you know, I threw out right away, like, you know, because people brought up the close game kind of stuff. And right away I was like, well, our women's team, it seems to always play in close games. And like, boy, I hope that doesn't apply. Now they're not, they've turned a corner and they're we'll see how we do today. But I guess maybe in a sense, and we saw a little bit about against us, I mean, if you're not quite a good team or, you know, talent-wise, although they've got a number of guys on the first, second, third team or whatever, but, you know, sometimes you have to figure things out as the game goes along. So to me, that's a credit to their coach of, you know, they adjusted to us and, you know, like they pressured and things. So maybe they're not quite good enough to just overpower you. They have to kind of, you know, monitor and adjust as the game goes along. But, yeah, they keep winning games. You can't argue with that. So I'll take them to win this game, but. We'll see. All right. Any thoughts? Anything else on that game?
The only one I'll slide in here, only because I looked at this stat for the women the other day, got me thinking. The women are now averaging a plus 10 scoring margin in their games. They're averaging beating their opponent by 10 points a game, which is pretty crazy. UNCW for the season is at plus 0.7. So they've basically been on par with their schedule, if you want to go with that. Charleston, for perspective, is plus 1.4. Drexel, if I can make my computer work correctly, sorry, is plus 2. So, you know, again, they've been doing it, but they've been doing it walking a tightrope. They really have. It's as advertised.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? If you guys are okay, let's do this bottom half of the bracket instead of game by game. Do you just want to say, you know, who do we think has the best chance to come out of that side of the bracket? So, because the other game, of course, is Hofstra and Charleston. So I guess rather than just go on to that semifinal game, who do you like out of those four to make it to the final on
Eric, Tuesday. Do you want to go cover your wife's ears? Hofstra.
Yeah, I mean,
it has to be, right?
Credit's due. It's a more senior team. They played well. They also do have a really, really good chance against good teams. I hope they come out of it. I just think they deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly make a case for Wilmington. Like I said, they've already done it 15-3, so you can absolutely make that case. But it's this bracket ended up, Drexel's in the much tougher side of the bracket this year, isn't it? Which actually I thought last year was the case, and then Northeastern got COVID, which was nice. But for us more than them, I promise. But everybody's healthy, so we can talk about that now. I just think that this bottom half of the bracket feels much weaker, with the exception of Hofstra, which just guards are the story in March, generally speaking. You guys who can make things happen, and hot man, do they have them? Do they have them in spades? Zach Cooks as a six man is hilarious, because he'd be your best guard on probably six teams in this conference. I mean, it's bananas how heavy they are in that kind of one guard, two guard role.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to be, I'll pick, we'll see Wilmington on Tuesday night. I got to be, you know, I'm trying to think, I'm the kind of guy, unless I've, yeah, I know there's all these stats out there. KenPom this, KenPom that, you know how I feel about sports betting. So I don't really look at any of that stuff. I want to see the game, see the teams. It's hard to sit down and really watch the league night in, night out and really get a good feel for these teams. But, I guess I like Sims being kind of a guy who's got decent size. But, I remember the first time I saw Wilmington was against Delaware. I think it was on New Year's Eve. And you said the luck stat, which I hadn't heard of, but it seemed like they were taking a lot of crazy shots that happened to be going in. But you know, if they keep going in, then again, sometimes you think, okay, they have the talent, but wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, Hofstra's got the best player, and sometimes that's what this comes down to, is whose top player shows up or whose doesn't. And certainly if Estrada gets hot, that's gonna be tough for anybody. So,
I'll point to an intangible. It just seems like there's a new winner ever since the mass exodus from the CAA. It seems like a new team wins every year. You know, Drexel finally got their chance last year. Northeastern was in there. It just seems like we spread it around. So I think, you know, possibly that points to Towson from a intangible standpoint. Maybe it's their year. It's been a long time for them. You got to go back over 20 years.
So let's do that. And if you're good with it, let's just pick the whole thing then. So, Eric, you think Towson's going to win it?
That'd be my guess, yes.
Okay, Dan, what do you think?
I'll go contrarian here, and I'll take Hofstra. I just, you know, they were down 10 to Northeastern with like 4 minutes left, and they came back and win. They could fill up the hoops so fast on you. They're never dead. They're just never going to be dead. If you're going to knock out Hofstra, it's going to be the last minute games. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're a really, really tough out. And to the point of, I don't know, intangibles, they won this thing 2 years ago and they didn't get to dance. So there's a lot of guys still on that program who are part of that, and I'll feel some kind of justification for them, as much as I normally like to root against Hofstra. I think for these guys, if it is them, I'll feel happy that some of those guys get the opportunity that they missed out on.
Yeah.
The other one with the stat I'll give you for Towson real quick though, Eric, I talked about margin of victory. Jekyll's +2 this year. Delaware's +2.2. Hofstra's +3, Towson's +10.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take Wilmington, and I guess because I have enough homer picks that I feel like I'm not bailing on us. I have us in the final and knocking off the one seed. Just have everybody hate Wilmington to the championship. And some of this has to do with, again, the tradition that they have down there. I think Brian Mould said either they're kind of all or nothing. They either show up and win the whole thing or they're awful. So I think they have the tradition to win it again. But yeah, I guess this kind of shows, Eric, you picked Towson, Dan, you picked Hofstra, and I picked Wilmington. So that shows this conference. And again, it's been, I think I saw someone make a comment about how interesting this conference has been night in and night out. And that's a good example that three of us are picking three different teams. So, and we'd all love to be, wrong with Drexel winning it. So, it's been an interesting season. That's part of why I feel guilty having not watched more of it, but I got a little down on us when we lost a number of those games. And, you know, now looking back now, that one thing that does make me feel better, I know we had that loss to Wilmington in there, but we did win what, three out of our last four. So at least some semblance of we can string some good games together, which is what you have to do this weekend. So it makes me feel a little bit better about things.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the Dragons are in it. I think, like I said, I think Drexel Delaware Towson end of the bracket, man, that's really hard. But a lot of experience, you know, Towson's the juggernaut. That's just whoever comes out of that, you know, has earned it. Put it that way. I'll probably pick, you know, even though I picked Hofstra, I should say whoever comes out of that probably should win it. Just because they'll have walked, you know, they'll have really fought through it. But I'm usually wrong about this, so not great news if you're Hofstra. I liked Drexel a little bit coming in last year, so we'll see. But yeah, it should be a fun one. I mean, really, there should be at least a handful of really good games out of here.
And you were talking about the setting. Part of why I'm going out tomorrow is I haven't been there, and it's like I don't want to miss the opportunity just to check the place out and see what it's all about. So I'm interested to see how easy is it to get there and what the place looks like. And we were thinking of staying overnight, you know, in a hotel, but because you know, so here's the time. So the other conversation I wanted to have, and this goes back to Eric Zillmer, you know, having that podcast you guys were talking about, and they asked him about, you know, to define depression, and they talked about how, you know, teams lose and then the fans basically essentially go into a period of depression. And Eric, I don't think you're here for this, but Dan and I talked, you know, we've adjusted to, you know, basically we have other things that are going on that, you know, okay, we lose, big deal. So what are, and we'll be in different situations, but what are our plans if we lose on, let's even tomorrow, what are we doing so that we don't go into depression?
That's well, I'm 52 years old. And I've lived in Philadelphia almost all my life, and I'm used to it. So when you get to this age, even your age, you just, you know, Dan's laughing. He's from Boston. What does he know? But when you get to this age, you lose. Oh, well, there's something else. First of all, there's something else going on sports-wise. You know, the Philadelphia Union are starting up. Sixers are looking good. You go on to the next one. And
the Sixers,
you
know, are going to win the world championship because they won four games.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when the Knicks was. But yeah, life goes. And even outside of sports, there's more important things going on, current events, yeah, family. You get a real perspective that sports is just a little side hobby. I can understand an 18, my son, he's 20. You know, if his team loses, he gets down. But I can understand that at 20, 52. You need a life, I guess.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Jason Tatum had one good game recently, and now we won't trade him for LeBron, is my understanding out of Boston. So it's not only Philadelphia. But yeah, I think, listen, DC, I've had the opportunity to travel a little bit in my life, not as much as you have, Nate, but or you, Eric, but I've been to some of the great cities in the world, and I love DC. I put it up there right there. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's the opportunities, especially if you've got kids, are wonderful. Guys, we are playing this game in an arena that has a subway stop. That's just it's just a nice feeling. That's just a nice, you know, there's actual real public transit to get there. So, yeah, it's there's not a lot around the arena is what I would tell you. There's at least at the time it wasn't. They were still working on kind of building that area out. So there's not you can't just run out and grab a bite. Which is unfortunate. But the, you know, you can hop on and end up at, you know, any number of restaurants, you know, in the subway in 5 minutes or come around town, and DC is fairly drivable in this on the weekends. I love the setting. I love the arena. Take the kids to Smithsonian, Nate, is what I would tell you. I think the museum closed, which is unfortunate because that was one of the great places I really loved. And if I'm misquoted there, I apologize. But yeah, it's relatively easy to get rooms, and there's a ton to do, and it's a beautiful city, and I just love it. So, like I say, I would never move the tournament. I think it's the perfect site for this league.
It's still Richmond, though, Dan.
They're tearing that down. Did you see that? They're tearing down the Coliseum. They finally got the plans done. Oh, wow. To take it down.
Good for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we drove.
They got to tear down. I think they're trying to rehab Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore again, which. Man, that's a dumpster. So Let's just as long as we don't end up back there.
Yeah,
fine by me.
I was on 95 a couple weekends ago. It's like 9 o'clock. We drove through Richmond. Downtown looks bigger. It's like they built a number of buildings there. So I'm sure they're going to use that real estate, whatever the Coliseum was, for something else. So I'll be sad to see it go. I'll watch it on TV or YouTube when they blow it up, or are they going to take it down? So,
I remember watching The Vet. It was, you know, Comcast had put The Vet implosion on demand for a while, and you could just rewatch it implode over and over again, which I thought was like back when on demand was new.
Yeah.
But that was different. I do. I mean, listen. I actually had friends come down in the last tournament when we were down there 2 years ago, who were just in the area. They happened to be in the area, and so they came over and, you know, saw the Drexel game, which was great. And then I hopped in the car with them. We went to Ben's Chili Bowl. We had nice lunch, and you know, it made a nice. You know, it's just nice to have something that's reasonably local, and at a site that you would expect you might run into people because it's a major, real deal city. Charleston was fun for me. I actually enjoyed it. But obviously, it's the southern tip of the conference. I like stuff that's a little more central. I like it being in the south. I'll say that. But no, this is ideal to me.
Well, now you mentioned Ben's Chili Bowl, so my plan is we'll go down tomorrow. We're gonna go to both games, so we'll go early for the Towson game and sit there and listen to their band, if nothing else. And then, so my plan is if we lose, then we're gonna go to Ben's Chili Bowl on the way home, because as far as I know, they're open on a Sunday, and then. I'm a little worried about the price there. I don't know how you felt. I think it was like $7-$8 for one of their like half smokes. So it was worth it, you feel like?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, it's a solid experience. You go there partially for the stuff that's on the walls and the history and everything else. But I think the food's good. I love it. I mean, I can knock that stuff down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my kind of thing. So if we win, then we're going to come home. I'm going to run. I need to take a day off either tomorrow or Monday. But then, so if we win, I'll come home, I'll run. And then Monday, we'll go eat at Ben's Chili Bowl. And yeah, the Smithsonian. And the one near Dulles Airport is the one I go to. I've never been to the one downtown. I have been to the one downtown, but the one outside of the city, which I didn't even know existed until my father-in-law told me about it. But there's a space shuttle there, and then the Enola Gay is there. And you think about experiences you've never thought you'd have in your life, but to spent 4 years going to Hiroshima watching baseball games and it's your favorite team, and then to go and see the plane that destroyed it is going to be an interesting experience. A lot of interesting thoughts and feelings related to that. So if we make it to Monday, that's our plan, because then once we're done there, we'll go and watch the game. There you go, Dr. Zillmer. That's how we're going to treat our preserve our mental health through this weekend, no matter what happens. And if we lose too, save a lot of money, you know, because fortunately, my other point, part of why I haven't gotten tickets yet is it's like, it's $20 a ticket, but then the service fees, it ended up being essentially $30 a ticket. And when, you know, you're taking two kids with you too, I mean, that starts to get expensive. So I'm hoping, I haven't looked for sure that you can get tickets at the door. And then, you know, maybe save myself some service fees. But we'll see what happens as far as that goes. So that's my only gripe so far is a ticket book for all of us would have been like $400 or $500. And right now I'm not doing that. So
I was saying, did Jexel offer ticket books? I didn't even see it.
They did, I think. Okay. It was on the website, and I think that's where I priced it out. And you know, a lot of places have kids are free, kids are discounted, kids are this or that, but now from what I saw, it's same price for everybody. So just expensive,
One of the schools somebody told me was $250 for the ticket book, which I thought was absurd. It felt like double the prices of the past. Again, we're just not doing the things we need to do to get fans in. Mm-hmm. We're keeping fans out, so you know, it's a league decision, and they're going to argue that, you know, getting 10% more fans at half the price is not worth it because you end up making less money. I would argue you get 10% more fans this year. Maybe you'll get 10% more on top of that next year, but that's not the way these people think.
Yeah. $20 for two games. That's why I want to go for both games. Cause then you feel like you get your money's worth, but it's probably not that bad. But you know, if you keep winning and you have to go, you know, a few nights in a row, it starts to add up. So
100%.
We'll see. Looking forward to it. And like I said, just going tomorrow more so I don't miss out on my opportunity to go. So, I'll have your insight on everything and see how it looks. So, all right. I think maybe go on briefly to the women's team and any other thoughts you have about the tournament. Anything we didn't touch on?
It kills me. I'm not going to be there, and it kills me. That's it. That's it. That's all I can think of. It's usually, by the way, I see Eric wearing a shirt. It's usually the first weekend of MLS season two and the Union. I usually go out with my friends, and we watch the soccer game on the night of the first night of the tournament. It's actually the second weekend this year for the MLS because they start starting the season prohibitively early. But it's just a great time to be a part of this Drexel community, this whole thing that we've been talking about this whole season. So I hope you guys go down there. I hope you enjoy the trip. I hope you mix it up with some of the other Drexel fans and kind of be part of that community. I think it's a great opportunity to see people you haven't seen in a while. And if you see a Drexel fan that you don't know, go walk up to them, say hello. You know, it's nice to have a common interest can bring a lot of things together.
I feel like I know them well.
That is the problem. You're probably not going to see a whole lot of Drexel fans that you don't know.
Well, I will say another thing. Yeah, if we lose, I'll be like, well, Dan didn't miss anything, and Dan and others didn't miss anything. So that's another thing that will help us through it if it doesn't go well. So, but hope to have you and everyone else back next year for sure. And maybe we're even a little better position going into it. So, all right. So you okay with talking about the women?
I'm okay with it. No, I want to do it. I'm well beyond okay with it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Start. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to say about them? Well,
let's talk about them going to JMU and dropping the 20 point win on them. Which I actually looked at that. Towson did the same thing. JMU's just been not a great home team this year. Mm-hmm. They are. I want to say, and I had it in front of me, and I moved around, but either 10-0 or 11-0. I got a 10-0 on the road this year. Mm-hmm. So I know today's game. At Towson, which is the two best teams in the league by metrics, is a meaningless game. Both teams know where they sit in the standings. They can't adjust it, everything else. But, you know, and do I think they're legitimately in the at-large conversation? I still do not, because the net ranking is what it is. And unfortunately, the net has been punishing to this league this year. But, you know, you get yourself in the 70s with a win, which is nice. And it'll help with seeding if it gets to that. And you've got 10. If you go 11-0 on the road this year, I think you do have an argument for an at large. I don't know. Outside of going undefeated for the season, I mean, going 11-0 on the road is crazy. Mm. So I think you there's a lot of reasons for them to go down there and be motivated to finish strong and win this game. But it's a really good team across from them, so it should be a battle. I'm excited about everything this team does right now. To your point, Nate, the scores have gotten, you know, they've really starting to lace the wood on some teams. It feels like they're clicking now. Mm-hmm. Peaking at the right time, right? That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. They're peaking at the right time. And it's tough when they're 24-3. I guess they've been peaking for most of the season. But they're peaking at the right time right now. And just exciting. Just really, they locked up the one seed, obviously. They locked up the conference championship with that game at JMU. It's a big deal. It's their second and one seed in 3 years, and the other year they won the tournament. The other year they didn't play the tournament. Mm-hmm. So this is as dominant a franchise as you've got in this league in any sport right now, I think. Mm-hmm. I know UNCW baseball wants to call me out on that one, but
JMU's as far as the basketball, they're leaving.
JMU softball too. But they're just a quality team right now. They're a veteran team right now with seniors up in Atlanta. All the makings of what you need to do. So. I want to see them win this thing. I want to see them sweep the road. And then I want to go back to the folks, the powers that be at the deck and say, hey, our men went 5-4 on the road and 5-4 at home. Our women went 11-0 on the road and 13-2 at home. Can you imagine what these teams would do with the home court advantage? You know, I mean, but seriously, you go 11-0 on the road, you lose home games to bad teams. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about why marketing doesn't matter. Let's have that conversation.
Well, I'll try to be brief about this. We were watching a game. I forget when we didn't watch it live. We watched it. We got back from Messiah, and I think one of the media timeouts. And I saw a bunch of people on the court, and they're holding the sign like Drexel veterans. And I'm like, what's this about? And so then I went back and I went on Twitter and Facebook. So there was one post on each, maybe like it was days ahead, not quite a week, but maybe like 5 days ahead, basically saying that they were having some type of reception for veterans at the women's game. And by the way, I missed that social media post, so I didn't know about it. I do give them credit for this weekend. There's a meetup, I guess, by the where the Nationals play. before every tournament game for Drexel fans. So they've advertised that. Well, every day I'm getting pinged on it, but they basically sent one advertisement about this, nothing behind it. So to be honest, I don't know that we would have gone anyway, but I mean, our family, I mean, we're going down to Towson today. We were in Delaware. Nobody's always supported this program. Well, I'm sure other people have, but it's hard to, not many other people have supported the program more than I have. And then, yeah, being a veteran, that may have moved the meter for me to go down there to the game. So it's just another example of just poor marketing. And again, I may not have gone, so I can't say too much, but it turns you off too. You know, you feel like you're kind of left out of it. So, but I don't want that to be the topic, because again, we're lots of good things going on. But yeah, there have been things all season that you're like, man, if this happens, look out. As good as we've been, you know, if this player does this or this player does that, man, look out. And you think of Kate Connolly hitting 5 threes, and you know, we were having a little bit of trouble against their zone. She started knocking down threes and was just unbelievable. So her and Mara Hendrickson, if they don't need to do much. If they just hit a couple threes in the game and add, you know, that 5 to 10 points to what our big three do. Again, yeah, it's hard to imagine this team peaking, but you know, if we go down there today and show more evidence of it, that's kind of what you feel like we're doing. And it's a scary thing for other teams in the conference.
Yeah, I realize we taped last week before that senior night game, so our senior day game. So let me just note that again, I called out William and Mary as being a trap spot, and that was a non-competitive game. That was a non-issue. Mm-hmm. Elon, again, senior night, a lot of emotions, ton of emotions on this team. Everybody's a senior, and not a problem against a pretty quality Elon opponent. Then you go down to JMU, coming off of that emotional game, and you know, kind of having things more or less close to locked up. And you just take care of business, wipe the floor with them. It's beginning to get a little bit. This is Gonzaga. I mean, it's every test that you can put in front of them right now, they are passing. And to your point, they played the close game at Delaware, which I said was an NCAA tournament level game, and I'll continue to say it. And they played the close home game against JMU. But other than that, I think it's been all 15 to 20 to 25 point wins for the last month now, since that Charleston loss. A Charleston loss may end up being a turning point, you know, really a snap in the streak. Maybe, Nate, you were right and the streak needed to be snapped. I don't know. But they've really turned it on since then.
Yeah, I'm interested to see today, you know, how I think we still play to win. I'd still like to see – I think we were it's interesting, Amy Mallon, like, playing the bench. Like, she tends to play them either we're losing by – like, and not a lot. You're talking like 10, 5 to 10, or we're winning by 5 to 10. Yeah, like if it's a close game, she seems to kind of keep the bench short, but she's already playing like High Duke and Valentine and a little more of Satman. So I guess that's what I'd maybe like to see today, you know, a little bit more of the bench. And I don't think I think we can still win and be, you know, successful playing more players, but it's maybe what I hope to see today. But yeah, I hope you play to win too and keep the streak going and the new streak going that they've started. So, so we'll see what happens there, but I'm with you too. As far as that large stuff, my kind of thing is like, you know, just win the tournament, you don't have to worry about it. But, you know, that's the easy thing to say. But that's another reason, though, to try to win this game. Because I get it, all these, you know, net rankings or whatever have Towson. So Towson, I think, has always been, even though on the floor, I mean, they lost to Delaware twice and they lost to us. So, you know, on the floor, they're not the best team in the conference, but by all the metrics they are. So winning this game can't hurt, you know, all those types of rankings and whatnot. So that's why I think it's important to win the game too. So, but yeah.
Well, they got the best win in the conference, right? They beat Florida, you know, a top 25 Florida team by double digits on a neutral court early in the season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get what's driving that a little bit, what's driving those numbers. And you know, some decent wins. American, actually, they really smoked them. American's not a bad team this year. So I get kind of where it's coming from. But maybe a team to your point that was better in the early season than in the late season. Delaware handling them. Delaware is still the scariest team to me in the postseason, just because they've got two players that just have the mixture of size and talent that is really hard to deal with in at this level. And obviously they'll want a third bite of the apple at Drexel, although stats will tell you teams that beat somebody twice in the regular season, do very, very, very well against them on the third time around. It's that thing about you don't want to play a team a third time, have to beat them a third time, is a myth. And you'll hear it a number of times this time of year. It comes up this week and next week all the time, but it's just untrue.
Yeah. All right. So it looks like Eric's getting ready. You gotta get going.
No, I'm good. Okay. I think awesome. About that myth there, Dan.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think that's just something people say after that third game. Well, hey, wait, they won the first two times and lost the third time. What, you know, what happened there? Well, two is not a big sample size, so
yeah, it happens. It does happen, but it's unlikely. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, we beat them the third time last year, but Amy Mallon's a genius, so I think that's what made the difference there. So, But yeah, all right. Any other thoughts on the women's program? And, you know, we'll set something up to talk more specifically about them probably next week, but in their tournament. But anything else you guys wanted to pass?
You said, we asked earlier, what do you do if the men lose? How are you going to feel? It's like, well, we got the women waiting in the wings. I have more expectations from that program.
Yeah, I agree with you. And having it at Drexel, and tickets are pretty cheap for that. Like, yeah, it was like, it's $40 for a ticket book to go down there. So, I'm hoping to be. We do have hotels down there. I'm hoping for a long weekend down there, and then I want to see that whole tournament play out again. We'll talk later, but I think even those other quarterfinal games will be fun, and you know, and then you know, maybe Delaware Towson rematch. I was surprised how you know Delaware. I didn't watch the game, but it seemed like Delaware pretty much dominated Towson the other night, and yeah, you saw like I think all their top players like Dickey, Battle. They all had good games, so maybe they feel like they're peaking too. So if it turns out to be Delaware Drexel, that's gonna be an epic game, and hey, let's see how the men do this weekend, and we'll go from there. So
yeah, you know, and I thought it was interesting, and maybe a sign of things to come. But Maisha Kelly, you know, or at least her name was on an email that went out this week, advertising, you know, congratulating the women on clinching the regular season title. And she led with the women, and then, you know, kind of the blurb at the end was on the men's championship. I actually think that's a little bit out of order because the men's championship's first. And you know, is the more urgent thing to talk about, and we can send something out on the women next week. But hopefully that's a sign of things to come as far as a school-wide push to market this thing. You know, they made the push to get it here. It was originally scheduled to be at JMU. Certainly Drexel had to, you know, have some agreements with other schools to get to host it, which means at a high level we wanted this thing. So now it's time to say, okay, if John Fry, if his associates wanted this thing, wanted to host this thing, wanted to give the ladies the best opportunity, now the rest of the school, it's time for you to get behind it, and you know, we'll see what leadership looks like. So I'm hoping to see a massive student turnout is what I'm trying to say for that tournament. I think that funds won't be a problem. I think that they can sponsor the student tickets. I realize it's not like a Drexel event where they can just let the students in for free. There's a cost to all tickets for that tournament. So somebody's got to pay it, whether it's the students or the school paying on behalf of the students. Mm-hmm. But I think that can be covered. I just think that I'm very, very intrigued. I'm going to have a very watchful eye on how this thing gets marketed and how that arena looks next week, because hopefully this will be the chance for the ladies to have the home court advantage they really richly deserve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good off-season conversation. But every time I see an email from her as athletic director, I know we talked about squash last weekend and how many, but yeah, what are we going to see as far as shifts and priorities of, you know, what types of programs we really kind of throw resources behind? And, you know, because, I mean, we had a good year, it felt like top to bottom last year, but I think the lacrosse team's already lost a couple games. So, you know, and I'm not saying she's going to be like this, but it is a type of job. It's like you could sit there and collect a paycheck for a lot of years and not really do much. But you hope that that's not the situation. You hope, yeah, like President Fry has expectations on these people and these teams. But we never know that. We never know the behind the scenes at Drexel. So, but yeah, I'm obviously with you. I'd like to see us get things. Yeah, it's tough. 12 o'clock on Friday. But, you know, the rest of the weekend should be able to get a good crowd in there.
Yeah, and I think, again, first-year athletic director in the middle of realignment on top of everything else. You've got Coach Spiker's contract needs to be dealt with. You know, you have some changes to some of the other sports. You're trying to get to know your staff, everything else. So, I you know, how much can she cover in year one? It's a lot. COVID's going on at the same time. I didn't have a ton of expectations out of her this year. She's met those. which is to say, you know, the average fan that I speak to, you know, really doesn't know who she is yet. I expect to see more, you know, of a presence next year as things settle down and things come back to normal, both from a realignment perspective and from a COVID perspective and everything else. So I am going to look for, you know, to see that engagement and from her and her staff and to see, you know, what she does in particular, obviously with the basketball program this winter or the summer. So there's a lot cooking is what I would tell you. She's had a busy, busy full plate. But it's the most important job for what we care about. So I look forward to hearing about her and I expect, you know, Eric, you're an accomplished CPA, Nate, you're an MD. I do okay.
Dio, you're finance.
Yeah. What's that?
Dio. Good. Yeah.
Dio. I apologize. Right. Dio.
I don't care about that stuff. I know the reason I say anything is because, yeah, sometimes people like want people to want them to be MDs. So I that's the only reason I said.
No, I appreciate the correction. I apologize.
I don't care either way. I don't want to be.
My point was, yeah, Nate, that you've been very successful. You know, Eric, you have as well, and I've been fairly lucky in my work. And
you have too. Yeah, we all have. Yeah.
You know, and the idea that none of us have heard from anybody at Drexel all season, despite being former season ticket holders, despite being supporters of the program, Nate, despite being a veteran when they were doing a veteran service, you know, obviously, this is not going to be the podcast where we talk about off the court, but. You know, she has additional work to do. And I think that this, just the three of us are a pretty good case for it. But I'm sure basically everybody else who listens to this podcast is in the same boat.
Yeah. So my expectation,
you don't need somebody to come and, you know, and say, hey, how you doing? But there's, when there's only 50 of you, it's not that hard to do.
Yeah. No, she's getting the sense of the lay of the land this year. And then, yeah, I do like the emails that are going out and, yeah, but it'd be interesting how, you know, and I guess my only, and I this was 2 years ago, I put my name in for the Alumni Board of Governors. They sent out the email for candidates. I'm like, what the hell, I'll apply. And I know my big thing when I was interviewing was like, I didn't get it, but the big thing was, you know, like, yeah, I want to see us market the athletics and especially basketball to try to bring more alumni in and get more, you know, in all the things that does, you know, school spirit, money, all that kind of stuff. I have been in touch. There's one person who's on that group. And unfortunately I included her on my other concerns this year. But you know, maybe we'll work with her at some point, but yeah, just curious if we see more. And I guess my big point even this year was we just won two championships. Like we got to strike while the iron's hot. And I think my fear is we haven't. I don't really have. So yeah, and then we're going to be, and you're going to hear those excuses of, you know, our success. Well, we had excuse. We had success last year and we didn't take advantage of it. So, but again, those are discussions that we'll probably have. Hopefully we have more success this year and then we can kind of carry that forward. So,
yeah, I mean, the case is going to be timing for sure. But, you know, we all know where we're at here at this point, you know. She's going to do something next year or we're talking to a wall. I will say there is a friend of the pod who's on the Board of Governors now, Nate. So we can maybe give him a shout. Marshall Fleming, I believe, is there. I'll drop his name here. But I know he's been doing a great job of campaigning on behalf of the basketball program. So,
yeah,
it's good to have somebody in there who's doing it.
Yeah, mostly just say because I wanted to be able to say, well, you can't just sit around and whine about it. You have to do something. So I tried. I didn't get on, but I gave it a shot. I don't know, maybe I'll do it again, but that's, yeah, most of it behind me. So, but anyway,
we're going to keep trying. We're not going to let this thing die. We're going to keep trying. Yeah. We're going to keep this going. And hopefully the Drexel basketball team will keep the season going too. Cause yeah. I still think you guys should be excited. It's a great arena. You guys are really going to enjoy it on Sunday and it should be a dandy of a game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to go. I got to eat and all that stuff and get going. Any last thoughts you guys have? Save rounds is what we used to talk about.
Go have fun. And hopefully, you know, we got a team with experience winning. Let's go watch X Biker go to work.
Yeah, it's a great day to be a Dragon. So
yes, sir.
All right. Okay. All right. Nice talking with you guys. Take care.
Have a great day. Okay,